I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 17. In honor of the double this weekend, we have the Kyle Larson Arrow McLaren HendrixCar.com Dallara. Number 17. Not the best weekend for Kyle?
Yeah, I was going to say, interesting.
Well, I you know, won too many NASCAR number 17, so just trying to shake it up here.
Hold on. We can.
On tonight's episode, we'll talk NASCAR, the World 600, or Coke 600 for you fans. Formula One at Monaco or Monte Carlo. IndyCar with the granddaddy of them all, the Indy 500, and we'll mix in some MotoGP from Silverstone, the British Grand Prix.
Yeah, that works.
All right, Kirsten's looking for something.
Yeah, I have a better number 17. You can go with
what's that?
Hold on, let me.
Feel free to override.
I will override this one.
Okay. If it's the number 17 tied Chevy Monte Carlo, I'm going to lose my mind.
It's the number 17 Marussia F1 MR03 Jules Bianchi.
Ooh. Given that we were in Monte Carlo,
yes.
An appropriate
driver. I think that one's better.
Charles Leclerc's godfather.
Oui.
Well, they don't. Do they speak French there?
I mean, they're in France, pretty much.
They separated from France.
I know, but that's true. I mean, once you're
so. I mean, it's the land of the rich and the elite.
Yeah.
So. But, anyways, let's just cover the NASCAR race real quick. Coca-Cola 600. Won by the Watermelon Man, Ross Chastain, and Trackhouse Racing. Congrats to them. Ross now qualifies for the playoffs with his win. That's exciting. Win, you're in.
Win and in. That's yeah. What I've been told. But
you could have a crappy season and one win, and you're in.
Yep.
Yep. William Byron, the second. Chase Briscoe, third. AJ Allmendinger. Fourth, Nate's idol, bad Brad Keselowski, fifth, even though his team did receive a penalty. Chase Elliott, sixth, Michael McDowell, seventh, Christopher Bell, eighth, Ryan Preece, ninth, and Noah Gragson, tenth. And Kyle was out early in this as well.
You know, NASCAR's point system kind of feels pretty similar to the TV show Whose Line Is It Anyways? Everything's made up, it doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah, you know, when you're in, that's all that matters. All right, let's go to England. Let's talk about MotoGP at Silverstone. I thought this was the second best race of the weekend.
Okay. It's all you.
Oh, well. See, I'm really starting to become a fan of MotoGP because
I can tell you
it
are.
Only in it there's a couple reasons. First off, these guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Secondly, the qualifying sessions are bing, bang, boom. I don't really watch the sprint race because it's kind of, you know, it's like the sprint race in F1. It's like, what? Why? You know? It's just another points thing, and I'm like, eh. You know? It's just, especially in MotoGP, you're putting the riders at risk once more, you know?
Okay. I mean, like, right? I understand, like, completely unnecessary and stupid risks, but like if you're going to a track anyways,
yeah,
to race on,
no,
like,
you're right.
However many times you race there, I don't really think that that's a good argument. Like if you were going to take those guys and go to like Isle of Man, even, I mean, I know that's an actual bike race, but like, to sit there and say, like, put 20 guys right on top of one another and go, like, that, it's a little different than, you know, separating them out.
Anyways, so, and there's just one quirk to MotoGP besides that. This is the one quirk I really don't like, is if a rider falls, okay, now, you crash out, okay? I mean, sometimes these guys will get back up, they think the bike's good, but 9 times out of 10, the bikes are... there's some issue. So they usually retire in 2 or 3 laps. But if this all happens within, I think it's the first lap or first 2 laps, and they red flag the race, everybody that was out before the red flag gets to come back into the field on backup bikes.
And this is before the first lap finishes?
It's either the first 3 laps or something. There was some crazy rule. This is the first time I saw it.
I could see the first lap. Like if
I don't, and I might be wrong.
Technically, like the first lap didn't finish.
Yeah, I might have to defer to our MotoGP experts, Alex Combs and Hollywood Hemingway. If they're listening, they could dial in. next week, maybe they could dial in. Anyway, so they had that happen because Alex Marquez crashed out and Mark Marquez crashed out. It's two separate incidents. Mm-hmm. Marquez got to the first corner and just laid the bike over. It was like, oh, and then, you know, Mark's like, oh, I got the lead. And then 3 turns later, he's pinwheeling off the bike and then next thing you know, we got a red flag and, you know, they have a 30-minute reset and I'm like, ugh, really? And, you know, then we, because in that 30 minutes, the race would have been over. But anyways, so they reset. It was a little weird track conditions, but the riders who, but this is the thing I like about MotoGP. You can mix tire compounds on the bike.
Yes. Yep.
Which I think is fabulous.
Well, and you can mix tires in WEC as well. I think IMSA, but I haven't really seen.
Yeah, I have to. Anyways, I'm just gonna let's just stick with what we got here.
Yeah.
And so the guys that went with the soft tire on the front and the hard on the rear. Actually the ones that ended up doing the best and actually ultimately winning the race. Mm-hmm. And Marco Bezzecchi won on an Aprilia, their first win in at least 5-6 years, with Johann Zarco following up his fabulous win in France, in his home country, 2 weeks ago, followed by Marc Marquez. See, this is where it gets funky. He crashes out, and then he finishes third.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the only thing. Minor quirk. I'm not gonna get into it.
No.
But it was a fun race. There was tons of passing, everything, you know? It was great. Plus Silverstone was awesome because they were actually able to they got the cameras like super close to the track, so they had the guys laying it down and stuff, so it was awesome. So anyways, there we go. Next race up for them is in Aragon. I believe that's Portugal.
No, that's Spain.
Oh, it's Spain. Oh, they're in Spain, and that's a big week for them. Ah, it's been a big 3 weeks for them in Spain. Could be a bigger night. No, it won't be a bigger night because it's not none of the Spanish clubs are in the Champions League final. So, okay. All right. Let's do that. All right. Now let's move on to F1. And congratulations to Lando. I don't have too much to say about this race. I don't know what your thoughts are. I'll let you.
The only thing I was going to say is last week we completely forgot about them having a mandatory two-stop strategy.
Two-stop, yeah, which at first we thought, this will be two-stop during the race.
Yeah, anyways.
And we thought this might be good, and it did nothing. It mixed up the midfield.
It mixed it up, but, like, the more you thought about it, like, there was a lot of games you could play with it, and that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, what happened, yeah.
For how much or how many games that were played, I would have almost liked to see George in the Mercedes just cut the chicane way earlier in the race, because I think he could have outpaced the Williams.
To overcome the 5-second penalty?
Gotcha. The drive-through that they had.
Yeah, gotcha.
Like, at the rate they were going, if they thought they had some pace that was better than them, just do it. It's unfortunate that would be the way you go about racing Monaco, but I mean,
yeah,
I don't have a problem with the race. I have a problem with the cars, because in not that it was that the racing was much better in F3, but you had a chance to pass just because the size of the cars were that much smaller. And I was curious what the size of everything was nowadays, because I mean, I've seen historic races around Monaco when they take the old cars, and you just look at them on the modern day track and they look tiny after having watched the current day car or the modern day cars go around.
Mm-hmm.
And today's I looked up that the size of today's F3 cars were the size of what the F1 cars were in the year 2000, like that generation.
Wow.
So, because even, I don't know, the other week or month, I came across like 2002 Monaco Grand Prix, so I threw it on just to have something in the background.
Yeah.
And like, it was a three or four way, I say battle, but like, same kind of deal, a little bit of a train, but like, it was Schumacher, Montoya, Barrichello, and Coulthard, I think it was.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I'm watching Schumacher and Montoya, and like, there's like, after having watched today's cars run around, I'm sitting there, I'm like, there's so much room. Like, just make a pass.
Yeah.
Like, but it was, but that's the difference. And like, it was, and I don't know what track changes there are to make. I know people have been throwing stuff around, but like, my biggest gripe is change the cars. You don't need what they are today. You can make them smaller.
Right.
I know there's I know there's safety, but like, there was even safety safety considerations in the rules back in the early 2000s, and you still had those small cars. Like, you can make a car that's that small and that strong. So
I mean, yeah, I mean, this is how this funny this race was. I mean, essentially, the first four were Lando, Charles, Piastri, Verstappen.
Yep.
That was the same qualifying order.
Yeah. And really, like, the strategy only, there was a mix-up in the back just because it depended on which game you wanted to play.
You're right.
And there were talks of like if you or like there was the yellow at the beginning of the race or VSC, yeah, whatever, and yeah, I figured like because there was a one argument of, well, if there's a yellow or if there's no yellow on the first lap, you pit, mm-hmm, right? Because then that gets you into free air. That's good. But then if a yellow comes out right after that, pit again, because then you don't have to pit for the rest of the race. And then
right,
you're just
right,
you're going to naturally jump everyone. But I guess the only thing you don't foresee is who's going to play the game of being the turtle in the road and
yeah,
slowing everyone up, like how Williams played it. And you know what?
Yeah, well, actually, exactly.
Not just Williams, but also the Racing Bulls.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, props to them. They pulled it off. Because I mean,
yeah.
Is it boring? Sure, but like, is it easy? No. Like, you have the whole field barreling down your neck. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't make a mistake. So.
Yep.
And it's the same deal with Monaco in general. Like, yeah, it's 78 laps that usually turn into a parade, but like, it is 78 laps you have to concentrate and not hit a wall. Like, that's the other thing that I think a lot of people forget. And it's only because, you know, the cars aren't going the qualifying
right,
speeds around during the race. So it's hard to say that like, oh, these guys are pushing when they're, you know, a few seconds off in race pace.
I mean, you know, outside of that, I so just to kind of get to some of the other stuff that went on, I team of the weekend has to be the Racing Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Got a sixth and an eighth.
Yep.
So congratulations to them. Surprise drive has to be Esteban Ocon.
Yeah.
Finishing seventh. Get some more points for Haas. Berman finished 12th. Wasn't bad because he finished behind Russell and behind Carlos Sainz. So that was behind the two Williams finished 9th and 10th.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, those were my surprises. I thought Hadjar did a great job all weekend. So,
yeah.
Really starting to solidify himself as an F1 driver, I think. And, you know, Ocon, you know, well done.
Mm-hmm.
And congrats to Lawson. I mean, seriously, he's had a rough season. So
I was going to say, this weekend was one of the first that really went well for him. And it wasn't just, I mean, yeah, he still got out-qualified by Hadjar, but he was much, much closer. And it was, you know, a better contention of like, well, you know, one could get treatment over the other. But even if Lawson didn't get points this weekend, I know we wouldn't have it to his name, but like, the points that Hadjar got were very much due to Lawson's driving. So, like, that was a huge, huge team game and really good stuff there.
Okay, let's just take a quick peek at the...
Alonso?
Yeah.
Just an honorary mention. Great drive. Would have had a great result, but the car just crapped itself. And he's still remains pointless on the season.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Hadjar has now overtaken Stroll for 10th in the standings.
No, thank God. Anyways, I was just sort of where I was going next to the points. Honestly, like once again, damage control for Max because the points leader did not win. So Max is 25 behind instead of 22. So he only lost three there. He's 22 behind Norris. So, again, he's in striking distance.
Yep.
And McLaren's got to fix that. McLaren has to make a decision at some point what they're going to do because, you know, so like two bad races on their end, and he's right in the middle of it. I mean, he's in the middle of it now. But
yeah, I was going to say. And I mean, even at... I think at this point, last season, it was like the point situation or gap between Max and whoever was in second at the time was like around the same mark.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think I just have a lot more optimism of Max being able to catch
the either one of the
McLarens. Yeah, than if it was the other way around, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just, you know, it's just, and the thing is, like, I think we went into this week, and I don't think Max was overly. The only way Max was going to win this race, honestly, was if he got pole.
Yeah.
Okay. If he finished on the front row, the question was, does he make a move into turn one? I don't know. I mean, he could force the issue. And then it's like, then you could spend the whole day backing up the train, basically, right? But the only way he was going to win this race, this track is basically whoever gets the lead is going to lead it. And that's exactly what happened. There was no mechanical error or anything like that. So that's all fine. So the question is, now what happens the next few races? Where is the Red Bull in comparison to the McLaren? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, there are 8 races in
and we'll find out this weekend. So we get Spain, and then we go to Canada. Now, we go to Austria, and that is a Red Bull hotspot, right?
Yeah, but McLaren was right with them last year.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm just saying, you know, again, I mean, if it rains in Canada, okay, maybe Max has an advantage there. I just don't know. I think McLaren's going to romp in Spain. That's just my opinion. But we shall see. Why don't we just go quickly back and take a look at the points? Bear with me 1 second. Austria's leading, as I said. Lando second. Max. Russell has got 99. He's got 20 on Leclerc. And Hamilton's 36 back. And then Kimi. So, well, I mean, right now, Mercedes is on kind of a... Well, did they finish third in Imola? George finish third in Imola?
We are checking. No.
He was on the... Okay, he was third in qualifying then. Okay.
Yes.
So Mercedes is on a pace where they've had 2 rather bad weekends.
Yes.
Okay, and Charles didn't have a stellar weekend this weekend. So, I mean, this is kind of...
Who?
You know, this whole group here...
Who?
...is kind of...
You said Leclerc didn't have a good weekend?
No. Oh, I mean, he did, but, you know... It seemed frustrating for him, that's all.
At Monaco?
Yeah.
He finished second.
I know he finished second, but I think he was frustrated throughout the weekend. I think
this is the closest that they've been to a win. Like
I know. Well, no, how dare you? Lewis got a win in the sprint qualifying.
Oh, please. Give me great actual win. Let's not pity, not pity right. points.
God. I don't know. This middle group is kind of sorted out.
Well, actually, China's kind of a sour taste because it's questionable if that car was even legal because they got disqualified in the Grand Prix.
Right. All right. If
anything, Ferrari has had two weekends.
Better weekends. Yeah. Yeah.
I know the qualifying at Imola didn't go to plan, but like the race pace was there. So.
Yeah.
If they can put the qualifying speed together, that'd be you know, it's interesting because that Ferrari has now gone from super quick in qualifying and bad in races because they couldn't hold onto the tires. Now they've like flipped it.
Yeah.
Where they can't get the qualifying but the race pace is
right.
It's there. Or it's maybe there. They're just or they could just be qualifying where they are and they're not really moving.
Right.
And it just seems like they're holding station.
All right, and next up is Barcelona this weekend to close out the first triple header. The European triple header, as they say. And then we are off to Canada after that, after a little hiatus. So, All right, we'll come back with our F1 picks a little bit later. Oh, NASCAR's in Nashville this weekend, just so you know. You want to come in?
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to it. The Indy 500. You go ahead.
Are we talking through the race, or are we just talking about the result of it? How do you want
to
go?
I'll leave it to you to take us there.
Okay. Just the elephant in the room. I think the championship's kind of.
Oh, I thought you were talking the Penske cheating scandal. Oh, okay.
No. I don't. I don't care about that. The race was karma enough for them.
Yeah. No. It was. It was.
So.
It was.
Pello is on such a different level right now. It's ridiculous. And
yeah.
The question is, after this race, this upcoming weekend's Detroit, and usually there's the Indy 500 winner hangover. I don't think that's gonna.
That might not happen. Yeah.
I'm not gonna pick him because I think I'm gonna jinx him if I do that. But
no.
But I have reason to really pick against him.
This was the typical hang around, stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, stay towards the front, which he did. Put himself in position. You know.
Yeah.
With that group. Which was actually being led by Ryan Hunter-Reay, who had an amazing race.
Yes,
unfortunately they pitted one lap too late. Had they pit one lap sooner, you'd be talking Ryan Hunter-Reay, 2-time winner. In all honesty.
Well, he didn't he have an issue?
They on the last pit stop, they went one lap too many and basically were out of gas. They ran it dry.
Oh, I thought they were.
Nope, they ran it dry.
Something else.
Nope, they ran it dry. They ran it dry, and so by running it dry, what they mean is the whatever fuel was in the plumbing was completely out, and there was so to, in order to recycle it, there was nothing that could pump go back through the pump. To get it to fire up, and that's why they had to do it.
Oh,
so that was what happened.
All right, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And when you run it dry in an Indy car, it's a process. It's
yeah.
Not, you know.
Well, because
like a sports car, you can take the cover off and all that. An Indy car, you got to really muck around with it.
Yeah, because I mean, even if they pitted one lap earlier, they were looking really good. Just on fuel alone, I was really kind of baffled at the broadcasting that they didn't pick up on that because, like,
yeah,
I was sitting there watching the, I ended up I muted the TV and I pulled up the live timing and scoring, because one I was curious on. Strategies and where everyone had pit and whatnot, because we were getting into that, especially in like the second half of the race. But two, also like I couldn't see half the leader or half the scoreboard, so I wanted to know where other guys were in the race because there was so many guys I thought were just irrelevant. You just didn't even know that there were 20 other cars in the race. So like I don't think I ever heard a peep of Willpower. I mean, Dixon had his issues, so he dropped back. But like even the mid, just any of those guys in the midfield, like Ray Hall, Herta, Siegel, Castroneves, Daly. After he dropped back a little bit, I mean he's eighth, but you know. Really, like all the guys in the back, you just didn't hear. You didn't get to see at least any progress that they might have made or lost, for that fact. Depending on which driver you're there cheering for. I mean, even Larson for most of the race. I didn't know where he was, and then until he had his incident.
Yeah. You know,
To kind of wrap into that. So, anyways, I was watching the timing and scoring, and I saw, you know, the three drivers of Ryan Hunter Ray, Marcus Ericsson, and might have been Ilott or Lundgaard. Those guys were really good on fuel, and the broadcasters were like, "Oh, like, you know, the Palou and it was like Palou, Award, and Malukas. That's what it was. They were like, this is the battle for the lead. And I'm like, guys, like, Ryan Hunter Ray was so far out in front.
I know.
Was better on fuel. Like, he's going to come out
because
so
I think when they said that, they came back from a break. And then I think Hinch and Bell realized that wasn't the case, and that Hunter Ray really was the guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just too bad there. That was, like, I mean, considering that car was that wasn't the race car. That was the car at the shop, you know? So, I mean, props to Dreyer Reinbold. Mm-hmm. I mean, the car they gave Harvey was good, too. So, I mean, great, you know, well done there. But, so once that's sorted out, then we got Ericsson Palou Award. At that point, I think Palou was definitely kind of, he was playing where do I want to be at the end of the race. That's what he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And he finally made a decision to go on Pato, and he took him. And then kind of settled in behind. And Pato made a couple runs back at him to try and do that. And couldn't quite get it done. And then the thing that was happening in front of them was you had DeFrancesco and Louis Foster fighting each other for position, which was actually holding everybody up. Now, they didn't have to move, but the problem was no one could get to them. You know?
Yeah.
That was the thing. So I don't, you know, people are giving them a lot of flack, and I'm kind of like, it wasn't like these guys were right up their butts.
Well, I mean, they were, but I think it was just a game of like, how close do you get? And, you know, if you're going to make a move on him, you got to get by him, because you got to get by and have the other guy go.
Right. So Ericsson really couldn't do it. And, you know, they ended up backing that the three up of Ericsson, Palou, and Award. As Foster and DeFrancesco kind of pulled away, gapped them a little bit. But then Ericsson made a mental mistake. Simple as that. Because going in that corner, he left the door wide enough open, but Palou was ready to jump on it, and he did.
I don't know how much of a mental mistake you could say it was, because I just think he didn't think that.
Yeah. Palou, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, I think that's a fair point. But it was amazing.
I all good. Took it when he needed to, he just had the reverse thinking of what Ericsson was, where Ericsson was trying to just figure out of like, all right, like I'm good settling in, and like at some point you just got to say like, I'm not good. I got to keep going. So,
And then Palou just did his masterclass to the end of the race, and then mm-hmm. you know, well done to him.
Yeah.
So, you know, unfortunate for Ericsson, but as it turns out, if you win and then you're DQ'd, So that's unfortunate there. Three cars DQ'd at the end. Rules are rules, you know?
And it was
nothing but calmer for Team Penske over the weekend. So all good with me. on that front, the only one I, the only thing I felt bad. Power, his team was out to lunch during the race. I mean, Newgarden had a mechanical, and Scotty had the brain cramp. I don't know what he was doing. Honestly, no idea.
Yeah,
no idea. And I don't want to hear, like, I was tired of hearing, like, Hinch and Bell saying, well, it's cold. You know what? The driver knows it's cold. The driver should then be extra cautious. Okay?
Yeah.
Simple as that. Okay? He wasn't, and, you know, paid the big price.
Because there was 32 other drivers that didn't do it.
Sadly, Dixon got, you know, some kind of mechanical issue with the brake. You know, and then it was a typical race when the temperatures and it's overcast like that. It ended when it's cold track temperatures, the track is just brutal. You know, it's a tough track, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get the tires up to temperature and then, you know,
And then creating the grip. So,
yeah,
you know, overall that was the conditions that were thrown at you. You know, Palo did a great job. Taco was there,
mm-hmm.
and then had an error in the pits and couldn't recover. Had they not had that error,
yeah,
much like Hunter Ray, would have been a factor because his car was definitely fast. And he, so I Hunter Ray, Zato, great race by those guys. Malukas and Ferrucci, great race by them. The Foyt guys were the best of Team Penske.
Yeah, you know, I was sitting there during that race and thinking if Malukas had won the race, he would have just secured himself a Penske ride for next year.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Shank had a great race with Froyo finishing fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Helio was sixth. Connor Daly again, good run as usual.
Helio was tenth.
Tenth, yeah. Connor finished eighth. The thing with Connor is, if he's with a good team, the mistakes that happen with these small teams that he runs with don't happen. It just puts him in a better spot, you know. Right. But the kid drives that race with his heart out. So good on him.
Mm-hmm.
Rasmussen, the Christians finished sixth and seventh. Rasmussen and Lundgaard. Taco was ninth. So I thought that was good. Props to DeFrancesco and Foster finishing 11th and 12th. Good job by them. Overall, it wasn't a bad weekend for Letterman. I mean, Rahal Letterman, because, I mean, they finished 9th, 11th, 12th, and Graham was 17th. So,
yeah,
not too bad.
I do have to say, it was really cool seeing ECR 1-2-3.
Yeah,
at the start of the race, that was great, and it was working out really well for him too. And
yeah,
the pit stops, like, it was just
Rossi, didn't come together. Rossi's was something went. There was a bearing in the gearbox or something that caused the problem that they had a pit, and then ultimately they had the fire.
Yeah,
so it the fire wasn't what put him out. It was the gearbox. No. It was terminal.
Yeah,
and you know, it was unfortunate. You know, as Rossi said on the podcast, that's racing.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that overall was good. I'm not quite sure how you get DQ'd and you finish behind the guy that didn't even take the green flag.
Well, no, technically he did.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. It was he crashed on the crashed on the pace lap leading up to the green flag.
Okay. Oh, no. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm mixing up Marco's crash because he tweeted.
Oh, well, yeah. No, Marco.
Here's like my half a mile, and I was like, well, technically you went more than you were a couple laps in.
Yeah, so. You went a couple. I did like the one where they had the picture of. Or he screen grabbed on Instagram. It had who was looking? Marcus Armstrong was looking straight at him, and he goes, "Why didn't you wave?" At least he has a sense of humor.
I know, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, yeah, I mean, it was just, and then, I mean, Schwartzman got the race off to a clean start, unlike somebody, you know, he, you know, at some point something was going to catch up to him, and it was, you know, just the entry into the pit lane.
Well, and we,
into the pit box. And we talked about that.
Yeah, we were saying too, like if Primer's going to lose this race, it's going to be in the pits.
Yeah.
So, and not, I didn't think he was going to like clean his team out, but I thought he would have done what, you know, Sato did, where, you know, you just lock up and go 6 feet forward or whatever, and or they're just slow with a tire change for whatever reason because there's a nut jam or something like that. Like, or but, even entering pit lane and, you know, blow the pit speed line, which, if you guys, if anyone hasn't seen it, Pelot's like last pit stop entry or second to last one, whichever one it was.
Yeah.
That was.
yeah.
That was impressive. Yeah.
Bunch of guys had a bunch of those. So.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, again, track conditions. That's you know what happened. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, I thought the race was entertaining, and no issue. So
it was slow. I'll say, like, it was hard to like I was looking forward to this race, and just the cautions at the start of the race was like,
really kind of interrupted the flow of the race.
The rain, and I was like,
here we go.
Like, come on.
So, but again, overall, entertaining race. I don't know. Had the cars not had the hybrid, would there have been more passing? Hard to say. I mean, the extra weight is definitely doing something to the cars. So, the question there is.
I think there could be an argument for they're being just as much or less, because without the hybrid, you're going on however many years of the same car, that everyone was pretty much in the same setup window. So you don't really have much more than the guy in front of you or behind you. So it's all tough to say.
Yep. All right. And on to Detroit. So that's this weekend. Just cruising through. Actually, very... Not too much in the world of news this week. You know, things are kind of heading to a very busy June. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very busy.
All right. So why don't we get our picks in?
All righty.
This weekend we have IndyCar on the mean streets of Detroit, and F1 in Barcelona. I will go first for F1 if you don't mind.
Okay.
I am going to go. I'm looking for Oscar to rebound. Lando to finish second, and it's going to be a snooze fest. Verstappen third. My dark horse will be Carlos Sainz.
Alrighty. I'll take Lando to win.
Okay.
Piastri second. And I'm going to just say Sainz gets on the podium.
Ooh. Straight up. Like that. I like that. Is Max your dark horse?
I'm going to go Kimi as my dark horse.
Kimi Antonelli. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. All right.
Nate, man, he loves the Spanish and is looking for a rebound for Alonso to take the win in the home country.
Okay. Oh,
that'd be amazing.
Is it an Aston 1-2?
No, he's got Aston 1-3, so there's your third place there. Stroll makes the podium. questionable there, but he's going to go with Leclerc in second, though.
In second. So and Fred, Charlotte, and Lance.
Yeah, and his dark horse is Esteban Ocon, his countryman.
Okay, that's fine. Although who's been honest is you know, had a nice showing.
Yep, he certainly has.
All right, let's go to the main streets of Detroit.
Yeah.
IndyCar, we pick the winner, right? And the dark horse?
Yeah, it's just the winner and the dark horse. In Indy 500, okay. we do three or four.
Right, yeah.
But big race, like, it's much way different.
Okay. So I am going to go, hello, Paleo. He's on a roll.
I have one reason why not to pick him, and that's just to not curse him. Who's your dark horse?
My dark horse? This is going to be awesome. It's going to be Colton Herter.
All right. If Andretti's are dark horses, then I'm going to take Kirkwood.
Okay.
Because he's been the only one to dethrone Polo, and it was on
as a dark horse.
Yeah.
And you're taking, who are you taking to win?
Scott Dixon. He's gonna go back on the street to Detroit.
All right. Yep. Nope. That's fair. LMG DeFrancesco fan club president Nate.
DeFrancesco is his
dark horse.
Dark horse, and once. Is it once again that he's picking Santino Ferrucci as his? I get the AJ Foyt love, but I mean, man,
yeah. In all reality, it's probably going to be Lucas that wins.
Who?
But Lucas.
Oh yeah, I know.
But anyways, But it was a fun weekend, busy with the racing. So mm-hmm. Have another busy one this weekend. So we'll see what happens.
The one thing that did come out this past weekend that kind of flew under the radar was the schedule for the 24 Hours of Le Mans.
I did not see this.
So they've released the event schedule, and it has. Oh my God, where did it go?
I don't know. I don't have it.
It had the support series that were going to be there. The Road to Le Mans series was one of them.
Yeah.
The Mustang Challenge.
Yes.
Is going to be another one. And there's two more. Why?
Is there a Porsche?
I think it's a Porsche Cup. Yes, it's Porsche Cup. That's the other one. And
the unfortunate thing is that there's no VW Fun Cup this year.
No, there's not, which is a little sad. But that's
that is completely tragic.
it was very, very good though. So yeah, that's going on, and this. Oh well, we can talk about this next week because scrutineering is next Friday.
Yeah, I know we're getting into it. It's crazy.
And I'm.
It's crazy.
I'll be a little bit. A little bit peeved if you know Ferrari has. The most favorable bop, but
yeah, I mean, we'll see what
it's
happens.
Sports car racing. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do? All right. Well, that was a tidy wrap up of the weekend, and all right. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.